How are we doing? If you're watching us, it's good to see you. Did y'all notice the satanic sunlight that's outside? Let me explain satanic sunlight. When it's so beautifully sunny and you walk out and it's frigid cold, that's deceitful sunlight. Or as the Bible would characterize it, would be satanic sunlight. I'm just kidding. It's not. It is satanic. The Bible doesn't say anything about it. Anyway, it's a beautiful morning. My robins are even saying, man, what happened to the temperatures? I only saw a couple out this morning, and you know they were out freezing trying to find them worms. Could y'all? All right, I won't go there. Anyway, glad to see you. We got one more Sunday in the month of April, so we praise the Lord. Thursday got good report. And Doc has released me to go back to all activities, which is a blessing. He just said that he wasn't giving me a green light, but at least it's good enough to start moving more and doing things that I like to do. So praise the Lord for that. Yeah, I felt really good while the temperatures were above 50. And now that the temperatures are below 50, I feel ornery, aggravated, and just want to annoy people. Don't y'all want to annoy people? Yeah. That's where I'm at. And if you've ever been there, you understand exactly what I mean. And, you know, I want to annoy people with a behind it. So praise the Lord for y'all being here this morning. Amen. Well, Brother Josh, if you want to take your class and go ahead and teach on them a little bit. If you would, Zephaniah this morning here in Sunday school. Are you serious? Caden, can you hear? I got it. Did y'all ever notice that you drop everything as you get older, and what drops always goes to the ground as far away as it can? Is anybody else like that? Catherine, you don't have that problem, probably. You don't. Well, I wasn't going to go there, but since you already did. Bless her heart. Bless her pee-picking heart. What's, poor young lady, I tell you what. And I can use bless her heart, and Karis and Catherine will understand all that. All right, Brother Ray, why don't you ask a blessing on the offering? Amen. All righty. Zephaniah, as we look at the next minor prophet, I was reading this week and asking the Lord direction last couple weeks. And Zephaniah chapter 1, if you would. Zephaniah 1. Now, this is a book of condemnation and wrath. This is a book that, it'll make you sit up and listen a little. Chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. One of the last kings in the line here in Judah that was somewhat good. He wasn't as wicked as some of the others. And boy, I tell you what, the northern tribes, the 10 tribes there, they were just flat out wicked. We see a lot of the judges of that era, Gideon with going and taking and destroying the prophets of Baal, the groves, and then of course Elijah and the Baal worshipers. Of course, you dealt with Ahab and Jezebel. And then into the south, you have Judah, and Judah wasn't as wicked at first, and it'd have a couple good kings, and it'd have a couple wicked kings. And so for the most part, Judah was the last one. That's when Babylon, so the Assyrians came in and destroyed Israel and took over Israel, the northern tribes. That's where you have today, you have the Lebanon and Syria. That's the Assyrians. They came down from the north. And boy, what an amazing history there, and all the Bible that's taught there Then you have Babylon, which is Iraq, which would be Ramadi, where the Hanging Gardens are at today. My brother Chris did some security work when he was in the military, and was telling me about seeing where they. One of the things that Saddam was doing is he was trying to rebuild the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and God put a curse on it. And many believe that that's why Saddam was taken out. And that's just, you don't mess with God. That's just all there is to it. And that's what this book is very much so. Now, I also bring up some of the history of God's dealing with Israel, with Judah particularly, and that Zephaniah is a great-great-grandson. If you follow the lineage, he's a great-great-grandson of Hezekiah. And, of course, as it leads to King David. So why would God use Zephaniah? Well, God can use anyone. God can use saved and he can use unsaved. It's not, he is not partial to it, although he would rather use his children. We notice that. But God will use, like in the book of Habakkuk, God will use Babylon to bring judgment upon Israel. And even in Habakkuk's argument, what are you going to do using such a wicked nation to judge your people? Well, you better understand, Habakkuk, that Israel is just as wicked as Babylon. And believe me, when we start looking at some of the words, which we're going to get to here in just a moment, it'll fry your mind on the two names that are mentioned here. There's so much idolatry going on, much like there is in the United States of America. And the wickedness that we're seeing. I saw a couple of articles today on the young man that's been fighting all the fraud. And now in the state of California, they're trying to get a law built that is against free speech and get him kicked out of being able to find all this fraud. Because there is so much fraud in every government right now, like there's never been ever in the history of this world. Here in the state of Michigan. There's so much fraud and so much corruption that the politicians lining their own pockets and lying to you and I. I still haven't figured out why Gretchen Whitmer's not in jail. They lied all about that kidnapping. They set it up, the FBI and everybody. We're finding these things out. And this is out in the public domain. Why would a Nancy Pelosi that has grown her empire by insider trading not be in jail? Why is this person not in jail? Why is Barack Obama not in jail? Tulsi Gabbard's come out and talked about the treasonous activity of Barack Obama during 2015. They're calling it a coup even in 16 when President Trump was voted in, how the Barack Obama illustrated. He caused all this to happen. And yet none of them are in jail. I don't quite understand that. Tulsi Gabbard come out with some things the last couple months that in their investigations that would wind up for you and I to go into the gas chamber, electric chair, thrown in jail in the segregation where there's a 1 foot by 1 foot window at the top and all you get is a little sunlight every day and the key is thrown away. I don't understand that. I don't understand. And I'm sure that at Zephaniah's time, he might have looked back at the beauty of Israel's history, whether it be with Hezekiah or with King David. Maybe he's walked in the halls and has seen Goliath's sword still hanging up there that David took away. Maybe there's some shields of the Philistines that are in the main hall of the king's palace there that reminds him of the things that King David did or King Saul did or some of the other kings, the great kings, especially being of the family of Hezekiah. But God uses Zephaniah. This prophet was from a famous lineage. From what we can see and what we can study in these names that are given, he's from a famous lineage. The prophet is a prophet of the Lord's word. If you notice in verse number 1, the word of the Lord, which came unto Zephaniah. Very important. Brother Paul starts his letters. Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, or by the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of the epistles of Brother Paul, he always begins it. So a beginning and an introduction is very important. It tells us a lot about who the writer is and who God is. Every time we read something like this, you see more and more about what the Lord has done. There are some books that start, much like this one, with great condemnation and wrath. Then there's other books that start with compassion. And our God is a holy, compassionate, always a God of integrity, always a God of pureness. And that's something we look at in a lot of these things in the beginnings of these books. The prophet of the Lord's word. Then thirdly, the prophet of destruction upon Israel. Boy, none of us like to hear destruction, do we? I get a lot of folks. I put some weight on. I'm working on it. I got to get it down again. It's just so funny. They'll say to me this, and I say, if you've gone through a knee surgery and you've gone through major back surgery, how much weight would you put on? That usually shuts them up. So, then what I get, I love it when people want to get on me about doing too much. You know what? The ones that get on me about doing too much, they're not doing enough. And the ones that want to get on me about my weight, they've never been through it. They have no. You know, I don't understand believers. I'm going to chase this rabbit, y'all. Just hang on a minute. We as believers are more harmful to each other than we are making each other better. If somebody puts weight on, we say something. If somebody takes weight off or looks tired, we say something. Shut up. The best thing to do is, Sister Karis, I'm so glad to see you. I know you're hurting, but I sure love you, and I'm glad to see you.
I love you.
We are so quick, and that's, forgive me, y'all, but this week I've had a couple, and it's like, because the scoundrel and the smart aleck wants to come out. You know anything about that, Catherine?
That's fine.
You know what I mean, don't you? Don't you? And it's just funny how things come out. But in studying this book, there's a lot of the Bible that is about God's condemnation and wrath. You realize that? I know why I have back issues. It's because God wants to use that to jerk a knot in my tail when he needs to. It's not so much patience. Yeah, it might be. For me, it's just keeping me from being arrogant or too depressed. Does that make sense? And if my body's telling me when to stop, and of course, you know, everybody, you got to listen to your body. Look, I've been doing that for the last 40 years in bodybuilding and powerlifting. I know how to do those things. It's like we have to say something. You know, the best word said is the one not said. In music, the best note is the one you think ought to be played and you don't play it. It's amazing to me, the guys in the golfing world, the pros, they'll tell you right now, the shot that they don't take is the best shot for them. They might club up or club down. They might work it right, left to right or right to left. And instead of thinking like we sometimes think, and I think that's why God gives us these books like Zephaniah. And God says, look, I am holy, you are not. Let me do in your life. Let me be in your life. Let me love you. Let me show you. Let me teach you. And a lot of times our problem is we have always got our mouth running. I'm kind of hard on, I look at Kevin, I say, Kevin, your mouth's running again. Quiet down and you'll be fine. And it's amazing to me how it calms him down. Where is Rachel at, Ray? She okay? Okay. I just noticed. All right. So let's get into Zephaniah. Verse 2, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. That's some dangerous, dangerous verses right there. And it's truth. It's God telling us there's condemnation and wrath coming. It amazes me is how many people say, oh, no, he's just a God of love. He's this and that. I was explaining, and I told you about the woman Mormon The first time I'd ever met one back in Pensacola. And she got in my face and said, I'm thankful that my Jesus is not your Jesus. And I just looked at her. I said, no, your Jesus, it might be a son of Satan rather than a son of God. Because, oh no, there's no condemnation to wrath. The mom at the bus stop a few years ago said to me, well, you're just like my dad. You just read the scriptures too much. I said, excuse me? God's a God of hate, beloved. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, he's never told us to be a people of hate, but other to hate evil the evil way. He doesn't say anything in there about hating the evil people. It's the evil of their heart. It's those things that are causing the problems in their lives. It's I don't hate Gretchen Whitmer. I pray for her because my life is made better when the politician does it according to God. But when the politician doesn't do it according to God, all they do is make our life harder. You remember me telling you that that the city of Lansing we owe $36 to? Have I remember this story? And can you imagine that? They need $36 of my money. Where are they going to put it? Well, it's going to be in somebody's pocket. It's not going to go on a road or anything that's really needed. And I noticed they just put new lights and stuff up. Boy, I wonder how much that cost.
They could have put that.
And they could have put it into the roads. So what gets me is they put new lights up on these corners around roads that are just terrible. It's like polishing. No, I can't use that phrase. Can I use that phrase? Should I use that phrase? It's like polishing a turd. It's like putting lipstick on a hog. I'm just saying that that's the corruption that's within it. And that's and people will say, God, I said, God hates iniquity. And let me say this. According to Psalm 5:5, he hates the workers of iniquity. That's why he says here in this passage, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. Yeah. Look at some of these people. They won't, and then these evil people won't even answer a simple question. The Nick Shirley kid, I pray for him. Yeah. Asking the Lord to do a work. I watch a video or two every day and kind of seeing what's going on. And when they found all that money, that corruption with Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, can you imagine what's going on in Illinois and Wisconsin and Michigan? We're already finding out there's billions of dollars that Gretchen Whitmer has. I think it was up to, $3 or $4 billion it's missing? And people stay out of jail? Well, I guess if you're in charge of the state police, why, you kind of make up who gets handcuffed and who doesn't, I guess. The idea is rules for thee, but not for me idea. There's a lot of that going on. And God is always a God of righteousness and holiness. To say that he won't destroy things, I don't quite understand it. When the Bible's clear, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. He says in verse 3, I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked, with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. Now, we all know Baal. Y'all remember Jezebel, or her daddy was the high priest of Baal. And she was a priestess of Baal. You know, when she's up there putting her makeup on, much like Tammy Faye Baker. Well, if you remember the little rocks and some of the stuff you've seen of the gods that they had where they would paint them up real big, that's what she's doing up there. She seriously thinks she's a god. Now, what is amazing to me, you might ask, where are we seeing that in our day to day? Well, we're seeing that in definitely the televangelists. A lot of these people that have been on television in the last 40 years with the 700 Club and much of that garbage, you see them painting their faces, Tammy Faye Baker, for example. But they're also showing themselves as angels of light, which is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and that's much like your Joel Osteens, and the list goes on. And there's a lot of that. And then what is amazing to me is then later on you find out about their adulterous relationships or their wasn't it Joel Osteen's church that they They busted open some walls and found money in it.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? What kind of righteousness is all that? What kind of Bible is all that? What kind of giving the gospel is all that? What kind of showing the Lord Jesus Christ is that? Because that's all the opposite of what I just mentioned. It's just amazing to me. So people want to argue as to whether God will consume things. Well, just here in the first four verses. Verse 4, I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place in the name of the Chimerims with the priests and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops. That's your Zoroastrianism. That's your zodiac. I don't think I need to go into detail on those. And them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. And them that are turned back from the Lord and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him. There's a lot of people that are mentioned here. So the first ones I want to mention, if you've got your notes there, are the Chimerims. The Chimerims, it's mentioned there in verse number 4. I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. Now the Chimerims were a Baal priest, priestesses. Now, there are different orders to most priests or priestesses within a cult. For example, in the Roman Catholic cult, you know, you have your Pope, which, by the way, the Pope ought to stay out of the politics. You realize he's a satanic man. What kind of man is he? He's a worshiper of Satan. Catholicism at its heart is Satanism. It is a worship of Lucifer. It is a legalism. And it basically, man can save himself, which the Bible says, I don't think so. So these are idolatrous or pagan priests. You could use idolatrous, pagan, and these priests and priestesses, by the way. Now, in some orders of idolatry, they will allow the women in. Now, this is happening in Israel still. Remember the calf that Aaron said just miraculously came out of the fire? Moses, I just took up all the jewelry and put it in a fire and it came out like this. Aaron, you are an idiot. By the way, I realize Aaron didn't have the Bible like we've got it. I realize he doesn't have, the Holy Spirit's not living within. But Aaron, you just saw God open up the Red Sea, hold the water back, and dry up the ground and save all of Israel. Then, Aaron, you saw the waters come down on the largest, most vicious army at the time. Egypt was much like Assyria and Babylon in its day. Egypt was the main nation, the strong nation, if you want to call it the first world nation of the world. And God destroyed an army without Israel having to throw a stone or shoot an arrow. Aaron, what are you doing? But now understand that we instinctively as human beings, that's who we are without the Word of God, without the Holy Spirit, without the truth. Now they knew of the flood. There was somewhat of a story of creation. There was different things. And what about Abraham? What about Isaac? What about Jacob? You know, beloved, this week I was studying and I was talking to a preacher about it. At some point, Abraham thought Jacob was going to be Isaac was going to be the Messiah. When you look at it, Abraham knew the Messiah was coming. He didn't know the name and he didn't know when. And this is what happens a lot of times. When the Lord Jesus came, you know, the disciples thought he was going to set up his kingdom. But he had to come as the Lamb the first time. They should have understood that, but they didn't. To be honest with you, I don't know that I would have. But I know one thing, if I see a withered man's hand healed, if I see a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes feed over 20-some thousand people, if I see this happen and that, and then to hold one of the baskets full, I'm going to have to follow this one and say he's the master, like Nicodemus. People want to give Nicodemus a hard time for coming in the nighttime, but at least he went. And he walked away saved. I believe Nicodemus was saved there. We see that, in, of course, later on, in he and Joseph of Arimathea taking the body of the Lord Jesus down. And can you imagine the weeping over that? This is my Savior. But Nicodemus called him Master. Not like you normally would call somebody Master, but he called him Master God. He recognized who the Lord Jesus was. So these Chimerims, they're idolatrous and pagan priests. So within the word construction, it's like Karmar. It's a K-A-R-M-A-R is the way it's built. And so what it means is dark teacher. They would wear black. So those priests that are in the black. So what do we have that in today with the priests in the black? At least for the last 30 years, we call it goth. Anything that's like that is basically an idolatrous or a pagan priest that dresses in black. All these kids, they have these terms, emu or something like that. There's another phrase I've heard used. And all they are is basically, and by the way, these were usually the younger within the priests that were coming up. They were always wearing black, and they were helpers of the priests. And now some of the priests in those cults, in a lot of those cults, will keep that black. I know a lot of times preachers, and I'll do it if I'm off somewhere, I'll have two or three pairs of black dress pants and then a colored shirt and colored tie. It's easier to color coordinate with black, and then you can change up your shirts and your ties to give you some color. Otherwise, I can remember as a kid, all the preachers, it seemed like the preacher, the lawyer, the banker, they were all dressed in black. And I don't know about you, but I kind of want to get away from that. So I'll wear some color, and the guys will say, they'll look at you funny. And I haven't figured that one out yet. And I don't go to the nth degree like Brother Chedina does. But anyway, they were wearers of black. The priest who wears black in a sad state, prostrating themselves before idols. This is Elijah's day when they were cutting themselves. They were throwing themselves, and of course, I love Elijah. Elijah is a man after my own heart. You know what he did? He's a smart aleck. Hey, maybe he's asleep and can't hear you. Maybe he's gone on vacation, and you just need to scream a little louder. I love that part. That is just so funny. And they couldn't get Baal to come down, and then Elijah, he prays and prays, and the Lord Jesus, he brings down that fire upon all that and laps up the water. And thank God, God is so good about that. But these priests and priestesses, they throw themselves. There's a lot of sadomasochism going on. There is the cutting. There is the burning that's going on. You know, there's a lot of people, even within society, that when they get nervous or whatnot, they burn themselves or they cut themselves. And I realize there's a lot going on there. But I tell you right now, the one thing that's not going on is you're not allowing the Lord Jesus to have control and reign in your life. It's the truth, whether you like it or not. It's just the truth. My weight gain over surgery has been along those lines. Every one of us have got our faults and failures. Every one of us have got our vices. And to have that self-control and to have a compassion for yourself and for the Lord Jesus. So we're not careful. All of us can be this type of, this Chimerim style of priest. Possibly the young priests who were used for immoral practices. So they may not call it immoral practices with these priests or whatnot, but we see that in our country, and it's called pedophilia. I am thankful that I do not know all the things that the politician and the actors have done with those kids on Epstein Island. I'm thankful I don't know, but I can imagine. It is utterly just, it makes you want to vomit of the things that these politicians and just horrendous, so wicked, so I'm I'm amazed at the long-suffering of God. When I read this scripture, I understand that this God of Zephaniah's day, this God of the flood, this God of Sodom and Gomorrah raining down brimstone and fire, this God that can wipe off, he can literally wipe this earth clean. He is so long-suffering to let souls hear the gospel and be saved. And I understand that's the grace of God. But it amazes me, because if I were God, of course, I'm glad I'm not. I'm not holy and righteous enough. There's no doubt about it. But I wonder how long-suffering I would be. There was a famous general that said, just kill him and God will sort it out. Yeah. That's the way these generals... World War II, they had to think like that. And World War II, that's why everybody's upset about the concentration camps that were here in the United States. But you didn't know who was friend or foe. We don't know that now. You know that the water supply has been threatened somehow. I don't know about all the threatening, but the water supply in the United States has been threatened by the Iranians. Fox News come out with that, a couple other Newsmax and a couple other ones that I will watch that actually, I mean, even Fox is just is about 60 to 70% as bad as all the other media. What are they calling that? The legacy media? Legacy. It's always been a lie. I mean, Walter Cronkite was a liar. I remember many times Grandpa sitting there saying, wait a minute, that don't sound right. Beloved, these priests that are mentioned, you have to understand, this is all satanic worship. What did God say he would do? Well, look at verse 2 again. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the man, of the heaven, the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks of the wicked. I will cut off from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah. Wait a minute, Lord. Those are your people. You know, he's divorced Israel. Set her aside. Now, he's going to take her back up. God's not done with Israel yet. Matter of fact, there's a lot of people that will say to you that the church is a substitute, and that's not so. The church will one day be the bride of Christ. Right now, we're seeing salvation by grace through faith. Folks are getting saved. Folks are coming into the local church. Thank God for the local church. And one day, there will be a marriage supper of the Lamb. There will be a marriage feast. One day, there will be a wedding. But right now, we're looking forward to the bridegroom. The Lord Jesus. I mean, that's coming. But it amazes me, this stuff. Oh no, God would never do that. God is a God of love. You know, he is a God of love, but he's a God of wrath. He does hate. Think about some characters in the Bible that would have caused that. How about Haman, who was an Agagite? He was when Saul didn't kill all the Ammonites there and maybe some got away and snuck out. Maybe some of the pregnant. That's how he was. Because they were supposed to, by Samuel, told Saul, you need to destroy all of them. But then by the book of Esther, in that timeline of Israel, we find out this old Agagite, that grandson of a grandson of a grandson of the Agagite that was supposed to be destroyed, of Ammon. And Saul didn't do it. He says, why do I hear the bleating of the sheep, Saul? Well, I tell you right now, because of that wickedness of Saul, we have Haman. But what happens to Haman? He's hung on the same gallows that he meant to hang Mordecai on and all of Israel. If you remember right, they got a law written to where Israel would be killed. And what happened? God used Esther and Mordecai to change the law to the point where Israel could defend herself. You know, beloved, it's amazing the things that we see today in comparison. Today we're seeing so much corruption and so much wickedness. Sooner or later, God's condemnation and wrath are coming. I truly believe that the reason why the United States has not been destroyed yet is because of her defense of Israel. I do believe it is the worship of the true believers, sure. I think there's more than 40 or 50 or 10 much like it was in Sodom. Y'all remember that? And thank God for his long-suffering, his kindness toward the United States. But we are a very, very wicked nation. We are, friends. We've seen terror in our land. That terror in our land is just everywhere. And it is amazing how much terror is going. Where was I at? I was somewhere and they were asking me about our martial arts. And it was a young lady that was taking me to x-ray the other day on Thursday. And then the fellow that took my x-ray last time was asking me how I was doing. And they asked a question about knife defense. We're in the x-ray room. And they asked me a question about knife defense. I said, well, your best weapon is this voice. That's your best weapon. Well, how's that going to stop a knife? If you're in Walmart, like was up at Cadillac, and you begin to yell and scream, knife, knife, danger, wicked, stranger, danger. I just kept telling them, yell, knife, knife. If you're doing that, I guarantee you there's at least three or four people in Walmart. They're going to run to the problem and take care of the problem. And then if the others are scared, which if you are, praise the Lord, get out the building. Go get your phone, call 911, get your phone out, start videoing. Now, I want you to know I'm going to run toward that knife, but I was teaching our kids, hey, go on the can aisle, get a can and throw it, chuck it at that person. Take your cart and ram into them. If they got a knife in their hands, if you have a weapon in your hand, I don't care what it is, you are there to kill someone. You have to take it to that degree. That's the nation we live in because of what we worship now. It is amazing to me that God has not brought down judgment on America. Not yet. When you have individuals that go into a Christian school with a gun and shoot up the place. When people are happy to see a president having to duck as he's being shot at, and then a gentleman behind him is killed, and they want to laugh and they want to praise the shooter. That's what Zephaniah is dealing with. God says, the word of the Lord, I will utter and consume all things. Now, what does this have to do with? Well, number one, it does have to do with the judgment that's coming down upon Judah by Babylon. One of the biggest mistakes that Hezekiah made is when the diplomats of Babylon came in, he took them and showed them everything. And it was Isaiah that said, hey, everything you showed them, they're coming to take. Please understand, the enemy does not like you. We are so naive. We have our heads in the sand. Yes, ma'am, I clean that up. We do. Nothing's gonna happen. We're so naive. We go anywhere. I'm kind of looking around and this and that. And it amazes me how many people, they do not look where they're going with their car. They push their carts around like they drive their cars. They don't look. There's no steadfast. There's no constantly looking and being aware. We know that when people walk. And I've got to a point where I just, hey, excuse me, you're in the way. We were at which store were we at? Maybe it was Costco. I wanted to get around something. And I said, excuse me, sir. And that boy just looked at me like that. Mom was right there. I said, please excuse me. Being kind about it. Finally, would you please move so that I can go across? And Jamie says, David, I don't think they understood. I think they're going to understand somebody with a cart trying to go that direction. But that's the kind of world we live in now. Y'all ever been looking at something and somebody just barge in and start looking at it? And there might be two or three left of something that you'd want, that you need. And people just bang around. That's the kind of world we live in. Thank God for his long suffering and his mercy. I understand we should have some compassion, but it amazes me how many zombies are in this world now. Y'all understand the idea of a zombie? It's just amazing to me. Sister Catherine, I mean, you see that all the time at campus. All the time. Do y'all realize that our nation, how blessed it's been since President Trump's been president? In comparison, Obama and Biden, well, they catered in a treasonous way to Iran. Beloved, this morning as we look at this, there's one other name. And by the way, understand, our school system, most of the teachers down there are priests and priestesses to this kind of cultic stuff. When they talk about transgender and all the different genders, that's part of the system. That's part of the world system we saw in Luke chapter 16. But it's also what's going on in Israel. God's people. They're catering to this stuff. And I realize I'm preaching to the choir. But when will we ever understand, finally, as a nation even? Well, we look at the next name. That's the Chemerims. Chemerims. Let's look at Malcolm. This idea here in verse number 5. And them that worship the host of heaven upon their housetops. We all know what that is. That's Zodiac, Zoroastrianism. By the way, does anybody know what other group that many believers will accept? There's two of them, actually. The Masonic Lodge and Shriners.
Oh, no.
It has been known within the Masonic Lodge and within the Shriners of the pedophilia. Well, now we get into other gods, and you're going to love this one. Malcolm, look at verse number 5, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. Malcolm is an idol and another name for the god of Moab. Molech. So there's another name given to it, and as in most cultics and words, they want to have all this intricate woving so that people can't figure out that they're a lie. Whereas if you just read the Bible, you already figure out that they're a lie. But within Molech and within the Catholic Church or within the United Methodist today or any of the others, they're so intricately woven, people just take, they just say, okay, I'll believe it. Rather than studying it out and finding out, wait a minute, that's not scriptural. Not like the Bereans of Acts 17 or you and I here and today. But this God here, this Malcolm, was a God of partial worship. What is that partial worship? Well, they said, first of all, in verse number 5, toward the end there, and that swear by the Lord. Oh, yes, King Jesus, he's wonderful. And in the next breath, they go to worshiping this God. Well, what do we know about that? Well, if you remember right, in Luke chapter 16 and in Matthew chapter 6, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve two gods. You will either hold the one and despise the other, or you will hate the other one and love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So what Malcolm is, are those that are saying, oh God, I love you, and then turning right around and saying, okay, it's this and that. Here's the case. Those believers that sit in the church house, praise the Lord, and say it's okay for a woman to have abortion. You have to understand that abortion is sacrificing a child before that God. Well, what about in the case of the health of the mother? Or what? Hey, unfortunately, there's been a lot of moms that have died giving birth. There have been well, what about in case of a rape? Hate it. But God don't hate that child. And any woman that wants to have an abortion anyway is devilish or demonic. I've never known a woman that was truly righteous with God that ever want to have her baby killed. And we see that in Kings. Well, let's boil your son and we'll eat your son. You remember that one? And then Solomon says, all right, I got an answer to this. Just cut the one. And the real mom says, no, don't do that to my baby. And Solomon says, okay, give her the baby. Yeah. Isn't it terrible that there's... That's the kind of stuff we have in the world today. And if we're not careful, it'll be in the church. It'll be in your family, that type of thinking. That type of wickedness. Well, within this God here, and I'll be done in just a moment, there's divided devotion. Divided devotion. Abraham is told by Sarah, well, Sarah says, well, I guess I'm not going to have any children, so here's my maid. And born out of that is Ishmael, which that's what the battle is in Iran and Israel now, is Ishmael versus Isaac. So go ahead, Abraham. And then later on, Sarah, she really hates on her and hates on that child. And Abraham gets rid of him, basically. Can you imagine Abraham doing that to his own son? Well, listen, woman, you told me to do it. Of course, he was foolish for doing it. No, God's going to provide a child, Sarah. God's going to provide a child. Instead of having to have some kind of, basically turned into a concubine, a sex slave. That's what it turned into. But there's the divided devotion. How about the devotion there in 1 Samuel? And Elimelech. And the two wives that he has. And the one wife that has Hannah, that has Samuel. He has two wives there. Can you physically, mentally, and spiritually as a man give both wives the same amount of love and time? No. That's why the Lord Jesus said you either hold to the one and despise the other, or you'll love the one and despise the other. Do you understand? You can't do that. But that's what happens in Christianity today. Yeah. Listen, we have no problem taking time off from God. Hey, we're going to go to Disney. When you going? Sunday. You going to be in the house of God? You know, when Jamie and I are, we don't have a church, we'll be on the Facebook. Because we do that all the time here. And wherever we're at, we'll be a part of the church house. You know, we got to have something every time. But there's a whole lot of people, when they go on vacation, they go on vacation to get away from God. That's the sin mentality. You worship two gods. You're between two opinions. And which opinions do you hold to? Well, the ones I agree with. God's a God of love. Hallelujah. And then the world comes right around and says, you don't have to go to church that much. Oh, you're right. So you're following two different positions. I'm so glad that God's a God of love. And then you go over to this one, and God says, be faithful to the house of God. But the world says, okay, it's all right every now and then. You can go, oh, I can't believe I'm going to say this. You can go ice fishing. It's okay. You're a fool. If you think going ice fishing is more important than being in the house of God. I've said it before. I'll say it 1,000 more times. It's ignorant to think that God won't melt the ice underneath you. Divided devotion, divided obedience. Who would you obey? Would you obey this God of Moab, or would you obey God Almighty Himself? There's divided compassion. It is very hard to love all your children the same. It is. One's a knucklehead, another one's this, and another one's that. It's hard to love all three of them the same because you get so tired of their foolishness and their knuckle. Why, they come from you. No. They're their own person. They're their own person. But one child you get along with really well. And another child you have trouble with. That's just the truth. It's hard. It's hard to have the same compassion. And what the most ignorant thing you can do is try to be parent of the year all the time. Mom of the year. Dad of the year. That's stupid. That's stupid. Some of the parents were a little upset with me. Some of them brought their cell phones in, and I've told them, I said, put them away. One mom say, well, he needs a cell phone to give us a call. I said, I understand. He has a flip phone. He's not able to get on the internet and stuff like that. I said, I understand, and it's probably smart. But then they'll ask me, well, what do you got against cell phones? I said, because of all the wickedness that's on them. And not only that, but I don't think anybody under 18 ought to have a cell phone. Hey, when would we, Jamie and I were talking, we were laughing about it in class. When was your first cell phone? Ours was a bag phone that my dad gave us, and I had a plan on it, and I can't remember how much it cost a year, but I had a plan on it, but we didn't use it unless we had to.
I was in my 50s.
Yeah, so we were, what, 25 to 30? I think I was around maybe 31-ish when I first had a... Listen, the cell phone is not needed. But how many people love the cell phone more than they love the Word? You're caught and you're torn between two. Father, thank you for Sunday School Hour, and I pray we'd understand your great compassion, but also your great wrath. I love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Very good,
there's so many things in there, Sister Karis.
Yeah.
So many things in there.
I like how
we
weave everything together.
I hope I do. I try. So, yeah, then there's...